John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. So have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, this is a very interesting, wonderful, beautiful passage. Obviously, it's all good. Amen. However, this is talking about, Jesus said, verse 11, these things that I just told you in verses 1 through 10, I told you so that you could have full, abiding joy. So verses 1 through 10, these things, is going to give you Jesus' recipe for us to have joy. Well, first of all, you need to understand, what's the difference between joy and happiness? Well, joy is inward, happiness is outward. Joy is eternal, happiness is temporal. Happiness is comes from the word happenings. I'm happy because of what's happening around me. And I can be happy, but you'll notice people who focus, if their main diversion is sports, they're happy if their team wins, but they're what? Sad if their team loses. Okay? And it's because of happenings. Joy is different than happiness. Joy is something that only a Christian can have. Joy is something that is eternal. Anybody can be happy, give or take a few, based on what they're focusing, they're pulling their happiness from. However, joy is something that Jesus said that His joy, we could have full and remaining joy if we follow His recipes. I'm going to give you 7 two-word, one-word statements. 7. And here, from verses 1 through 10, is Jesus' recipe. Okay, just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. One word for some of them, 2 words for 2 of them. Are you ready? You can write this down, and then you can look at this later. I hope this helps you, because this passage means a lot to me as a soul winner. We'll look at fruit here in just a second. What is Jesus' recipe, these things, for full remaining joy? All right, ready? First of all, number 1, no fruit. No fruit. Number 1, no fruit. I'll give you a few other things here. Is it a little chilly in here? Is it? Are you everybody? Okay. All right. No, nobody. Okay, no. Good. We're ready to go. First of all, no fruit. Number 2, then put fruit. Fruit. No fruit. Then fruit. Number 3, purging. Number 3, purging. This is, I think you'll find this very easily when you read verses 1 through 10, but this is Jesus' recipe for full remaining joy. First, no fruit. Number 2, fruit. Number 3, purging. Number 4, more fruit. More fruit. More fruit. Then, okay, so you have number 4, more fruit. Number 5, abide. Abide. Number 6, much fruit. And then number 7, more fruit. You could probably end it at verse 6 if you want, at number 6 if you wanted. But God says His plan is, first though, if any man doesn't bear fruit, He said, every branch that beareth fruit, first of all, so you have branch that don't bear fruit. Then you have every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. What's purging mean? He sanctifies. We kind of went through that last week, or He purges you or takes things out of your life so that you can bear fruit. Then you have fruit, then you have more fruit after the purging, and then you learn to abide. Now, I'll come back to this in a little bit, but I think it's very important here. The word abide means dwelling place. The word abide, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, I am the vine, ye are the husband. He that abideth in me, what does abide mean? He that dwells or lives in Christ, in the vine. If you dwell, and what's the dwelling place? Your mind is the dwelling place. What do you dwell on? What do you think on? If you're free to think about anything you want, where does your mind go? If you dwell or think upon Christ and His Word, and you let Him be your life, then He uses you to bring forth fruit. I think it's very important here. Before much fruit in this passage, abiding comes. Because of this, I'm not sure. I know as far as I was not taught soul winning at first when I got saved. I was taught my Bible. I had someone help me. Now, I think soul winning, but I think we make a mistake when we say this. The first thing you need to do as a Christian is go soul winning. I think you need to go soul winning. But please keep in mind, abiding, learning to the inner, focusing on the inner, so that it comes out. You say, you can't do that. Then people are going to stay home and read their Bible. I think if I can get you reading your Bible and walking with the Lord, soul winning becomes more natural. If I can, you cannot follow Christ without becoming a fish. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You can't follow the Lord without being involved in getting people out of hell. You can't do that. Well, I follow Christ in a different way. I don't go soul winning. I stay here at the church and I clean. I'm glad you do clean. Well, I do things around the church and I sweep the parking lot. And I'm glad you do. But follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You cannot follow Christ without allowing Him to teach you to lead people to Christ. Do you understand? And that is why I'm battling that a little bit, not in our church, but you'll have Christians that say, I'm not a soul winner. Well, I got to work at it like everybody else does. And if you're not trying to lead people to Christ, you understand, if you're not actively involved in that, then you're not following the Lord. And I'm not talking about because of health reasons. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the ball's in your court and it's up to you. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. If you're going to follow Christ, abiding in Him and learning to think about Him and His Word and meditating on Scripture, it's very important. And if I can get you to walk with God and think about the Bible and think about the Lord and encourage you to let Him become your life, the soul winning is a shoe-in. Do you understand? The soul winning is a shoe-in. Proverbs. Now, what is this fruit? Before we do this, you say, what does this have to do with getting saved? I'll show you in just a second. Hang on. All right. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 says, don't you go there. I'd like you to go to Psalms. Psalm 51. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 says, you're going to go to Psalm 51. I'm going to read to you Proverbs 11, 30. You go to Psalm 51. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So what is this fruit that Jesus is talking about of in John 15? The fruit that Jesus is talking about is another fruit-bearing Christian. The fruit of the righteous is a tree. It's a tree. It's something that is bearing other fruit. So what is your fruit? What am I supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to have it as a goal before I die to get somebody else that's circling the globe spreading the gospel so that if Jesus calls me before the rapture, I have a testimony on this earth. Do you understand? That's supposed to be everybody's goal in this room. Who is in church and going soul winning because of you? Amen? And if you don't have anybody, it's not. I'm not trying to discourage you tonight as much as I am trying to say this. Could you pray for one? Lord, give me somebody that I could win, that I could teach how to go soul winning, and that they could bear, you know, win other people to the Lord. That the he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree. And if you aren't careful, you say, well, I win souls, I know, but we're all supposed to be praying for fruit, and the fruit of another Christian is a fruit-bearing Christian. All right? You're at Psalm 51. Let me show you this. Psalm 51, verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I love this. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You say, why would you show us that? Because the inner comes before the outer. God says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, then I'll make a good soul winner. I think if you stress the abiding, if I can stress, that's why we teach soul winning around here. That's why we teach it on Saturday mornings. We've not really had a big enough group yet on Tuesday night to do it, but I'm prepared to do it. And I can help anybody with it. I've taught people how to deal with certain situations on Tuesday night that I knew they were going into, Pentecostal and stuff like that. But as far as we teach it on Saturday morning, God says here, then, when God restores the inner part, the joy of salvation, then I become a soul winner. Then others, sinners, will be converted. So we sing this song. Okay, now we're done with John 15. We're going to come back to it, but Jesus' recipe for joy is if you do the verses 1-10. Then, once you've done those things, then you can have His full remaining joy. We sing this song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. And it's kind of true, but you don't get joy when you get saved. You don't get joy when you get saved. And I'll show you that here in just a second. There's another song that goes, if you want joy, real joy, everlasting joy, let Jesus come into your heart. And I like that song. It's an old song. It's a good song. But it's not 100. There's no Bible behind it. Do you understand? Well, if you're down in the dumps and you're depressed, then you need to get saved so Jesus can give you joy. He can give you joy, but you don't get joy when you get saved. You understand? Then you say, are you sure? Watch this. You take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. I know that you know it, but it's good. I'm going to read you two other verses. You're going to Romans 6, 23. Romans 6, 23. While you go to Romans 6, 23, I'm going to read you John 10, 27, 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Romans 6:23, you're there. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. When you got saved, what did God give you? He gave you eternal life. He didn't give you joy. He gave you eternal life. John 10, we looked at Romans chapter 6. Let me read to you John 17:2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Once again, when God saves you, He gives you eternal life. Joy is not given by arbitration or an uncontrolled decision. Joy is given by appropriation, or that word means a choice. Joy, it's a lot like this, okay? Is it too curly for you to read? Okay. All right. There are things that become available to you. And I'm sorry, if you're sitting all the way back. Brother Wilkins, I always judge it on if it's big enough. Can you read that? No. I almost put two sheets up here. But anyways, I'll show it to you. There are many things that became available to you when you got saved, but they were not given to you. One of them is peace. You didn't get peace when you got saved. You had peace available to you. You had contentment. Contentment was made available to you when you got saved, but you weren't given contentment. Well, if you're greedy and covetous and never happy with satisfied, then you need to get saved so you can be content. That is, none of us say that. None of us talk that way. Well, if you're scared to death now, you need to get saved so you can have peace. None of us talk that way. Peace was made available to you. Let me go down the list now. Contentment was made available to you. But just because you're saved doesn't mean you're content. Joy was made available to you, but it was not given to you. What was given to you when you got saved was eternal life. That's what was given to you. Enjoyment of the Word of God. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you enjoy your Bible. You can, but I know some Christians that don't read it. And they should, but they don't enjoy it. But you could. Strength to make you stronger. That's made available to you. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be weary. Run at any rate. I've kind of missed. All right, I should have just left well enough alone. Strength is available to you, but strength was not given to you when you got saved. It is available to you. Just a few more here. Comfort. Comfort is made available to you, but what you got when you got saved, Jesus gave to you eternal life. The rest of this, power. Power is made available to you, but that just because you're saved doesn't mean that you have the power that God wants you to have. And the last one I put on here, guidance, to know what to do. It is available. I will guide thee with mine eye. God says He'll lead us into truth. However, guidance was not given to you when you got saved. Eternal life was given to you when you got saved. These things are made available to you after you get saved. And now, let me show you. Let me see here. Okay. Three things were given to you when you got saved. You ready? And we're not going to focus on these. We are going to focus on the joy tonight. But three things were given to you when you got saved. And I think, and I've got scripture to just show you one. Number one, eternal life. You got eternal life when you got saved. What else did God give you when you trusted Him as your Savior? You got the Holy Spirit, right? He that believeth on Me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What's that say? This He spake not concerning His resurrection. This He spake concerning the Holy Spirit, which would come after the resurrection. So God says, He that believeth on Me, out of his belly, God says, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. I give you eternal life. I give you the Holy Spirit. And what's the third thing that we have? God gives us fellowship with God. Fellowship with God is given. You say, are you sure? Remember, God says, I will dwell in them and be their God, and they shall be My people. And that 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I tell you what, go ahead and go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So you have three things given to you when you get saved. Joy is not one of them. Eternal life, the Holy Ghost is given to you. And then we're given fellowship with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll read quickly here, but look at verse number 14. Ready? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be My people. That sounds like God gives it to you then when you get saved. God says, I'll dwell in you and walk in you. John chapter 1, verse 7, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with God. When you got saved, you got three things: eternal life, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost living inside of you, and He gave you fellowship that's available. All right? Now, what does unbelievers mean? Right there in that passage, that's lost people. If you hang around the wrong crowd, you're not going to feel saved. Do you understand? You're not going to feel close to God. They can pull you down. They can make you feel dirty. Who are the unrighteous? That's just those who don't do righteous acts. You'd be surprised at how many Christians I know justify hanging around certain people, and this is their justification. Well, they're not doing drugs. Well, I hope not. Well, they're not selling drugs to kids in the neighborhood. Well, I hope not. Well, they're not making moonshine in their backyard. I know that. What good do they do? That's called ungodly. That doesn't mean wicked. It just means God doesn't have anything to do with their life. They're not out, they're not the next, serial killer or nothing like that. But God says here, He says, we're not supposed to hang around unrighteous people. That's people who don't do righteousness. That's people who don't, I can take or leave God, They might be yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, tax-paying, law-abiding citizens, but they're unrighteous. God says don't hang around that. It will affect you. How about this? For darkness, there, it says, what's that word mean? That's people who do wicked things. That's people who do wicked things. Don't hang around that. Then Belial, what's Belial? If you kind of do a study on the word, it'll lead you to the thought of lazy people. People who don't live by schedule. People who are always, let's take a trip. I don't mind taking a trip. However, I'm not against single people doing that, but once you get married and have kids, amen, life gets wonderfully exciting, okay? And you have to more plan things out than waking up at 2 in the morning and say, I've always wanted to go to Northern Delaware. Let's just take a trip. Well, that be careful about people that don't live by schedule and they're always, it's too much. Infidels. What's an infidel? That's somebody who is unfaithful. That's people who are unfaithful. And then idolaters. What's idolaters? That's false religions. I heard somebody say, I know they're Catholic, but if they're Catholic, they're lost. You do know the majority of the mafia is Catholic, right? But they're good Catholics. They confess their sins on the weekend. You know what I mean? And I'm not knocking Catholics as much as I'm trying to say. I've heard people justify, I know that, look, and I made this statement, you will not become like what you want. You will become like those you hang around. You cannot escape that. You will become like those you allow yourself to admire. So please be careful. Please be careful. When God saves you, He gave you eternal life. And He gave you the Holy Spirit, and He gave you fellowship with God. Now, if we were to look at joy, and then what happens with this thing called joy? Okay, then, ready? Number one, I'll give you 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to give you four little sentence statements. Are you ready? Here we go. I've already said this, but you don't get joy just because you're saved. Number one, you don't get joy just because you're saved. That I know how we talk, but you don't get joy just because you're saved. I know several people that are saved and they're miserable. You say, well, then they're not really saved. That's not true either. That's not true either. I know several, not a lot, but I know several people that are saved and they're miserable. Do you know who is happier? Okay, I said number one, you don't get joy just because you're saved. Do you know who's happier than a backslidden Christian? A lost person. You know who the most dangerous people in the world are? Backslidden Christians, people who are fighting God. A wounded Christian that's angry at God over pain, they can cut deep. And I mean, they can hurt you. Well, if they're saved, they wouldn't do that. A wounded spirit, who can bear? Please be careful. Please be careful. There is no place in the Bible, none, that says you get joy at salvation. All right? So number one, you don't get joy just because you're saved. Number two, you get the availability of joy. And of course, I put that on the paper there that I hung over the pulpit. You get the availability of joy. You get the availability of joy. It becomes possible. You can have it if you want it. It should be just like this. If I go to the restaurant, Right when I open the door and cross the threshold, I don't go, wow, I'm full. Glory. I like this place. Now, that's stupid. You don't get full. If I go into the restaurant, and if I do what I'm supposed to do, I have the ability to get food and to get full, but just because I went to the restaurant doesn't make me full. Amen? I have the availability of being made full. I'm hungry. No. ready? You'll meet some Christians, they're angry at God because they got saved, but they don't have joy. And it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. Well, I got saved, and I don't know how come I don't have joy. Because you haven't done what you're supposed to do to get it. It's become available to you, but you didn't get it. You did not do what God says to do. Look, you can come. You cannot come to the altar and ask God, please give me joy. You can pray this, Lord, please change me so that I can appropriate it or take what you've died to give me. I got saved. But at the altar, you cannot pray the prayer, oh God, give me joy. God says, I already told you how to get joy. Then do what I said. And you can get your own, you can get my joy in you when you obey. But you come to the altar and you pray this prayer, Lord, please change me. Please change me. And help me appropriate what you've given me. Here we go. Ready? Next. Number 3. Joy is a fruit. Take your Bible and go to Galatians chapter 5. Joy is a fruit. Joy is a fruit. Joy is a fruit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 to 24. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to work our way down to verse number 22. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. Joy is a fruit. Now, if you know somebody whose name is Joy, that doesn't mean they're fruity. Okay, no. The joy is a fruit, all right? Joy is a fruit, all right? Watch this. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 18. Ready? But I'll read verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Or revealed, which are these. Now, Christian, just a second. Can I think with you just for a second? God tells you what actions take place when the flesh is dominant. And God tells you here what the fruit of the Spirit is in verse 22. That means when a Christian is acting this way, you need to steer clear of them. They'll cut you. If they're living in the flesh, they will hurt you. But they're saved. If they're living in the flesh, they cannot please God. I didn't say don't help them. I said, why are you spending time with them? Do you understand? These, in other words, how can you tell when somebody's in the flesh? God tells us. Ready? Watch this. And we don't have time to look at all the definitions, but this will help you. Ready? Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. The first four words deal with immorality. The first four words. You look up the definition. I know we don't use the word lascivious, but you look it up. The first four words deal with immorality, being immoral. Look at verse number 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Revelings is party, party hardy people. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. It's a fruit. It's not your fruit. It's the Holy Spirit's fruit. When you yield to the Holy Spirit inside of you, then the Holy Spirit loves through you. The Holy Spirit allows you to bring joy to other people. Love, joy. What's the next one there? Love, joy, peace. When you yield to the Holy Spirit, He yields the fruit of peace through you to be a blessing to other people. Do you understand? That's His fruit. That's not your fruit. My fruit, your and my fruit, is soul winning. You're in my fruit is trying to get somebody saved, get somebody to church, get somebody in the tank, and then help them start growing as a Christian. Do you understand? That's our fruit. The Holy Spirit's fruit. I've heard Christians say this, well, I have the fruit of love. No, you don't. And they'll justify not going soul winning so much. It's sad. Well, I'm peaceful. That's my fruit. No, you're not. You're reading your Bible kooky. You need your head banged on a pew. Well, that's what it says. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's His fruit. How do you get that? When you yield to the Holy Spirit, then He loves through you, and all of these actions are done through you. Now, listen closely. Number three, if joy is a fruit, which God tells us it is, then it is not a work. That means, like all fruit, joy must be cultivated and grown. Right? Then joy has to be cultivated, just like a fruit does. It has to be dug, and it has to be watered, and it has to be worked. And watch this. Joy isn't a one-time occurrence. Just like when you grow apples or pears or prunes, or it doesn't make any... You don't grow prunes, I'm sorry. You grow grapes and then you dry them out. I understand that. However, but when you grow it, it doesn't bear fruit one time. Right? It doesn't bear fruit one time. It'll bear fruit next year if you take care of the tree. And it'll bear fruit next year if you take care of the tree. And it'll bear fruit... Do you all understand? It's not a one-time occurrence. It'll happen as you what? As you take care of the tree. Joy happens in the Christian's life when what? When you grow it, and when you nurture it, and you take care of it, and you obey what God says. Joy does not come at salvation. Here we go. Number four. You can't grow it in 5 minutes. You can't grow it in 5 minutes. You can't. Look, the only thing you can grow in 5 minutes is a blister. Do you understand that? Okay? That's the only thing you can get in about 5 minutes. It's just, a real good blister, and until it pops, it keeps growing. Okay? All right? You cannot grow any fruit in 5 minutes. Because you can't grow it, you need to give it time. You need to give it time. Please be careful what you do. While your joy is growing, while your peace is growing, while your love is growing as a Christian, if you aren't careful, you can stifle it. You can't watch Hollywood and feel joy. Feel dirty. You can't cuss and feel joy. You can't run with the wrong crowd and feel joy. It takes nurturing and water. It takes growth. It takes time to grow. So give it time. Tonight, joy and salvation. Joy is not given at salvation, but I realize until a Bible study like this, you know what it helped then? As far as I don't look for emotions, but I know if I'll yield myself to the Holy Spirit of God, God can guide my emotions. And I can have God's peace and God's contentment and God's joy and God's enjoyment of His Word and strength and comfort and power and guidance. And I got a whole lot of things available to me as a Christian, but they weren't given to me when I got saved. Amen? Now that I am saved, I have a lot available to me, but that doesn't mean I'm using what was given to me. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight and thank You so much. I pray that please,